Hello, my friends. This is Heidi Metz with Spiritually Speaking with Heidi. And we were off on quite a long break, I know that. But we have made some changes to Spiritually Speaking. And now it's going to be Spiritually Speaking with Heidi and Friends. And I will have a guest on each podcast and with a different topic. Today's topic is Lost Among the Masses. And my guest will be Anna. And she will be with us right after this break. Welcome back, my friends. And we are here with Anna. And she is going to be talking to us about Lost Among the Masses. Welcome to Spiritually Speaking, Anna.
Hi, Heidi. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. I just think this is so important to get out there because a lot of people do feel lost among the masses. Tell me what that means to you, being lost among the masses.
For me, it was being in a crowded area and feeling alone and just not really knowing where I was going or what I was doing or what even the reason of being here was. Like, just complete lost feeling.
And you had no reason why you felt that way?
I felt rejected by a lot of people that I should have felt loved by. I felt rejected by friends. I felt rejected by God. Even though now I know that's not true, those were the feelings that I had at the time.
Mm. Wow. Well, Anna, when she turned 16, she accepted Christ as her personal savior. But Anna, you said you had a history of having God in your life, but you really didn't come to accept a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ until you were age 16. Is that right?
Yes. I grew up as a believer, but it wasn't until I was 16. I knew that I needed more in my life and that I couldn't keep on the way I was. And a dear, dear, dear friend really helped me in realizing who I was in Christ and realizing what all God had planned for me and that he has so much more planned for me.
Oh, I am so glad that you had that friend. But when Anna turned 17, at the age of 17, Anna became homeless by choice. And she was homeless from the month of August through June. That's 10 months and hard months. That's like winter months, which would be really harsh and a lot to go through. And this whole time she is a Christian, but in a worldly world, in a worldly environment, that had to be so hard to maintain your Christianity with so many powerful influences and at being so vulnerable, feeling lost among the masses, as you call it. Why did you, at the age of 17, decide that that was the route that you wanted to take?
There was a lot going on as far as family dynamics and just a lot going on inside myself. At the time, I wasn't diagnosed yet, but I realized that I had bipolar disorder and there was just a lot going on at the time and I wasn't safe where I was.
And were you able to maintain your Christianity while you were out on the streets?
Oh, absolutely. I was still going to church regularly. I was still praying regularly. I was still following who God wanted me to be and still doing my best to live in a way that pleased him.
Okay. And what would a regular day look like to you, being homeless?
It depended. Like, there were times when I stayed with different people at different times. There were times where, I was in the shelter for 2 months of that. 2 months of that was spent in the shelter. There were times where, like, at night I would stay at one sheets for a couple hours, then walk to another sheets and stay there for a couple hours until the sun came up. And then when it was daytime, I'd go over to the library because I can sit in the library all day.
When would you sleep, though? If you're doing all this walking, going from sheets to sheets, when would you sleep? And Sheetz is a convenience store, a local convenience store in our area. But when would you sleep?
It would depend. Like, I would go, like, a week without sleeping and then crash on a friend's couch. Or, you know, it just depended on where I was in the moment.
How could you stay awake that long? A lot of coffee. I would say a lot of coffee.
I didn't really have many options.
Like, that's that would be so unhealthy. How could you, were you able to force yourself to stay awake?
Yeah, I mean, it's just kind of, I feel like when you feel like you don't have any options, you pick whatever you think will work and you go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it worked for me. Like, I figured out what would work for me and I went with it, even if it was not necessarily a good choice.
Mm-hmm. Did you have a job at this time at the age of 17?
Well, I turned 18 in October, and then I got a job. I got hired at the end of January. My first day was the very beginning of February.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. But that was still several months out on the street with no money, with no job. How did you get money to eat or to, you know, stay somewhere? Or did you have a lot of friends that would let you stay with them?
I stayed with some wonderful friends for the first couple months of it. I think the first 2.5-3 months-ish, give or take. And they're beautiful people. I still love them.
Mm-hmm.
But I stayed with them for the first part. But I had worked over the summer. I had a summer job. And so I had some money that I'd saved from that. Doing different things. Like, I shoveled for somebody and they paid me for that. Different things like that.
Like, I see. So, like, odd jobs. You would find odd jobs to do and that you would get paid as you did the job.
Mm-hmm.
I see. And what kind of things would you eat while you were out and about? I mean, you couldn't have a full course meal, obviously, unless you went to a restaurant every day and you can't afford something like that.
The end of December, I think it was December 26th, was the day after Christmas, I got food stamps. So I could use that to get, like, cold food. So I'd go to Sheetz all the time. Before that, I would get, like, dollar sandwiches from, like, McDonald's and stuff.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay. And how did you live, though? I mean, when you weren't crashing on someone's couch or staying with a friend and not walking from sheets to sheets to sheets, I mean, where else would you sleep? Was there anywhere else that you were found asleep?
I slept in a cemetery a couple times.
I have heard of that.
Yeah. Different things like that. Like,
I don't why know, a kinda cemetery, though? I mean, I've heard homeless people doing that, but how? How would you do that?
It's quiet and people aren't out there walking at night, so nobody notices you.
Mm.
You know, it's better than being in the middle of the woods because then there's animals and it's kind of creepy back there. I'm not about that.
Yeah.
So. Mm. Yeah, at least that was my reasoning. I don't know what everyone else's reasoning is.
Yeah. Did you make a lot of friends while you were out on the streets? Did you make new friends?
You can find some of your realest people. Like, the people that will be the most honest and upfront with you are people who have nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'll just tell you how it is. Like, oh, yeah, I got here because, and they'll tell you all of their life story. There was a girl I met. I actually ended up giving her my glove. She was 8.5 months pregnant.
Oh,
and she was sweet as can be. She was addicted to drugs. Mm. But somebody else had given me gloves. It was like through a shelter they had given me gloves. So I ended up giving them to her. But she was so sweet. And I actually talked to her for months and months. I wonder about her all the time. I wonder how she's doing.
How did you keep from getting involved in the drugs or the alcohol? Because people you hear and you see on TV, there are so many people that are down and out, and a lot of them end up turning to a coping mechanism, which usually turns out to be drugs or alcohol or something like that. How did you keep from doing that?
I wasn't into alcohol at all at the time. Like, just wasn't my thing, really.
Mm-hmm.
Drugs, like, I was prescribed stuff, like, anxiety stuff and everything. Mm-hmm. And I think that helped that I took my medicine that I was prescribed and it kept me calm. Like, it was a mood stabilizer and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that helped because I think a lot of times, a lot of these things go hand in hand. Addiction issues and homelessness and mental health issues, like, a lot of those go hand in hand. Because they start to take this medication because they feel a certain way and they think that this medication will help. But they need to, or whatever drug or alcohol they're doing, like, they think it'll help. But mm-hmm. really, like, if you seek professional help and get put on something that will actually help you, like, it can avoid a lot of issues in the long run.
The appropriate chemicals for your brain. Yeah. Were you ever in any dangerous situations while you were out?
I was in several.
Is there any that you can share with us?
Yeah, one that was, this is like my big, like, I knew God was watching out for me. This is towards the beginning, was like, I want to say the end of November, give or take, somewhere around there, end of November, beginning of December. I was walking out to Sheets, it's a couple miles from where I was at. I just walked out there and, I text my friend and he knew that I went walking all the time, like, you know, and I just said, hey, my phone's almost dead. If you don't hear back from me, that's why. And it's like 1:30, 2 in the morning. He's like, well, where are you? And I was like, well, I just passed, the area that I was in. I told him where I was at. He was like, okay. So I continue on walking. And I'm further up the road and there's nothing open around me. It's completely dark. And I see a man standing off on the side, like, back. And I don't think that he knew that I could see him, but I could see him watching me. And I watched him start to come down, still in the shadows, towards me. And I watched him watching me. And, like, it just, I got this really eerie feeling and, like, I was shaking. So I grabbed my phone, which was dead at that point. And I pretended like I was talking on it. I started saying things like, oh, that was
a good idea.
This is where I'm at. I can see this sign. Like, I'm describing where I'm at. Acting like, and I was like, okay, well, I'm watching for you now. And I looked as if I was looking for somebody. And the person stops, and I could see them watching me. And I just kept saying really loudly, okay, yeah, I'm looking for you now. Are you almost here? And I kept walking, and I'm thinking, this is not going to work for long. Like, I got to come up with a plan B. But I didn't want this guy to know that I was onto him. Well, next thing I know, a car pulls up in front of me and pulls off.
Oh, my goodness.
And at first I was like, what's happening? And then my friend opens his door and he's like, get in my car. That guy's freaking me out. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Oh,
wow.
He was at home. And after I texted him and told him my phone was dying, he just got this feeling that he needed to come out immediately.
Oh, that's God.
And there was no, like... Like, he didn't tell me that he was coming. Like, I totally was making that up when I was saying it. He didn't know what was happening. Like,
well, your phone was dead. He couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, it was so crazy how it worked out.
That is so scary. Wow.
But I give all that credit to God. Oh, all of it.
Oh, absolutely. So that was one of the scariest situations that you were in then?
Yeah.
Wow. I am so glad that God was with you through this all. How did this experience, this whole experience over 10 months, change your life?
I learned a lot about myself. I learned that I can get knocked down, but I'm not broken. I learned that God is always on my side, even when I can't see him. And that the more that you lean on him and trust in him, the deeper he's going to take you. And even through all the valleys and stuff, he still is there. Like, that was a big thing for me. I learned just how to live. Like, how, like, I know that if I'm in a dire situation, I know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
It just made me more cautious, more able to look around and be aware of my surroundings. There was a lot of things I learned that year.
Wow. Were you able to witness to anybody while you were out being a Christian out on the streets?
I talked to some people. I'm not very good about if somebody asks me a question first, I'm better at answering it than to mm-hmm. bring it up first. But especially when I was at the shelter for a little bit, people would say something to me and we get into a discussion about, like, they'd pick out a verse in the Bible and be like, this says this. And I would talk about what I think mm-hmm. it means. They'd say what they think it means. We just have healthy discussion. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, that's great. Have you brought anybody to Christ while you were out in the street?
Honestly, I don't know. I know I had a lot of discussions.
So you've planted a lot of seeds.
Yeah.
But have you really seen them sown or anything, or watered, so to speak?
No, a lot of these people are people that, like, I would only know for a time period. Like,
oh,
most of them,
a season. Yeah. Oh, I see.
Most of them, I have no idea where they're at anymore.
Wow. The people that you've run into that were homeless as well, have they been homeless for long? Does it, you know, did you notice that, oh, they've been out on the street homeless for years? Or is it just usually situations like you were in for just temporary, that they were out for like 10 months, a year, or shorter?
There's all different kinds. Like, you met people who were only homeless for a couple weeks, and then I know people that have been homeless for almost their whole lives.
Oh, wow.
So.
Oh, that's amazing. I mean, I know you see it on TV, but when you live it, like you have, that's really something else. Let me see here. Is there something that you would... is this something you would recommend to somebody that is 17 going through what you had been going through in your life?
No. What I recommend is if you feel unsafe or if you are in a situation where you need out of, contact the appropriate authorities or contact somewhere where you can find help. There are teen centers in the area. Find somebody that can help you.
You know, or your go to your pastor, even of your church, possibly. If you could go back, what would you change?
If I could change, I mean, I'd still do it over again. There's really not too much I would change. I think I would change my doubt. Like, I was filled with so much doubt about God, like. And he just kept showing me over and over and over and over again how faithful he was. But, like, I still kept doubting him.
Hmm. Wow. And how did you get out of your situation? I mean, what finally pulled you into a new season?
So, I started working in February. And then, by the end of June, had enough saved up that I was able to get an apartment.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you had an apartment by yourself, or?
I had a roommate also.
Oh, that helps. That really helps. And was that roommate homeless as well?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. Is there anything that you would like to say to anybody out there that are homeless now? I know you have made a lot of friends when you were out on the street, but is there anything that you would like to say to them?
I think if you are living in a rough situation like that now, just keep your head up, focus on where God can get you to, find your community. Like, there are still people who will be there for you. Find your group and just don't give up, because you don't know where you can be at in a year mm-hmm. or in 5 years, you know? Oh,
absolutely. Thank you for that. Anna, would you mind praying for those that are under so much stress? Like, 17-year-olds now are getting ready for graduation at school and are thinking about college or thinking about the next step or thinking about moving out of their home. Maybe they don't have a place to go. There's a lot of stressors this time of year on kids now thinking about, oh my goodness, I'm going to graduate this year. And I don't know where I'm going to work. I don't know where I'm going to live. I don't know what I'm going to do. Could you pray for those kiddos that are going through all these anxieties and maybe also having some mental illness that they aren't even aware of why they are feeling lost among the masses?
All right. Holy Spirit, come. God, I just lift up anyone who's doubting themselves, who may be facing obstacles that they feel like they can't make it through. And I just ask that you will show them that you are there with them, mm-hmm. and give them strength and peace, and take away any doubt or any rejection that they may be feeling. And I pray that if there is something going on mentally that they don't know about, that they will be able to have the confidence to find a doctor to help, and just have that confidence that God is there with you and you can overcome anything with him. Just let them be able to get the diagnosis that they need. And I pray that you will just show them how you are there. Find a way that they will see you in this situation. And if they need a way out, that you will show them a way out, mm-hmm. where they can, if they have to fight their way out, they're going to fight their way out with you. And they'll just follow wherever you lead them, God. And I pray that you just stay there. I pray that they'll just take a deep breath and know that they don't have to fix themselves. You do not have to fix yourself to be good enough for God, because mm-hmm. God wants you exactly how you are, regardless of where you are right now. And I pray that we would all realize that we don't have to fix ourselves. Just be with them in the daily, God. And I ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Anna. Thank you for being with us and going over this really, really tough season that you were in. This lost among the masses is such a fitting verbiage for what you had gone through. And I know, everybody, that Anna will be back with us some other times also on other subjects. And we really appreciate her coming and talking about something so personal. So thank you, Anna. We appreciate that. Everybody, we will be right back after these messages.